Now, when exactly in the 1980s the Cold War ended, still, rather surprisingly, remains a matter of discussion. Because where one pinpoints the ending of the Cold War depends on which dimension of the Cold War one has in mind. Now, I'd like to say something about the endings in terms of the three dimensions. You can make a troika of the Cold War. First, the Cold War as a militarized and tense standoff between the United States and the Soviet Union, as that the Cold War ended between 87 and 88, perhaps as early as the signing of the INF, this was an intermediate nuclear force treaty, in December 1987, but certainly that tense militarized standoff ended during the course of 1988, with agreements on arms control being achieved, put forward, and Soviet agreement to withdraw from Afghanistan. Secondly, is an ideological contest between systems, between capitalism and communism. In this dimension, in this sense, the Cold War could be said to have ended in 1989, the most popular year chosen for its demise, ushered in by Gorbachev's December 1988 United Nations speech formulating the new cooperative thinking and amplified by speeches in 89, calling for collaboration on the basis of common interests. So it wasn't just super détente, but full ideological political entente. And all this was formalized at the Malta summit in December 1989, when both the Soviet Union and the United States declared they no longer regarded each other as enemies. And that's the most popular endpoint for the ideological contest, and indeed most people's favorite endpoint for the end of the Cold War. But thirdly, there was a territorial and security divide dimension to the Cold War, the Iron Curtain, if you wish. And that collapsed, of course, with the breach of the Berlin Wall in November 1989. Effectively, that ended a divide through 1990, formally with the unification of Germany in October 90, and then the absorption of the new Germany into NATO, sealed in 1991 with the end of the Warsaw Pact and confirmation of Soviet support, almost as an ally by 1991, for UN policy and intervention in the Gulf. Now, what drove these three stages or strands of the ending of the Cold War? There's a dispute about which of the two actors were more responsible. Some traditional versions have, particularly on the arms control dimension, the United States as being at least as responsible as the Soviet Union for getting together and agreeing on arms reductions, disarmament, not just arms control. So Reagan, in those views, was as important as Gorbachev. But what's striking on the arms control side is how proactive Moscow became. For the first time for decades, in contrast to most periods of change in Cold War relations, it was Moscow who was doing the running rather than the Americans. Remember, throughout the Cold War, Americans were actually creating new policy, creating a new climate. Moscow was responding rather slowly, often, and awkwardly and grudgingly. For the first time in the 80s, the Russians were making the running. This is particularly the case in the second dimension of the Cold War, where there's no real dispute on the ending of the ideological contest. However much you rate that Reagan and his second administration was a softer, more reconciled to cooperation Reagan, Gorbachev took a very bold step in changing his whole ideological stance and that of Moscow to try and end the dispute and conflict between capitalism and communism. And lastly, in terms of the territorial divide, who was responsible for ending that? Much more complicated. Certainly the Soviet Union took the lead in being willing to talk about new ways of arranging Europe and other parts of the world. But it was the Soviet Union's indirect influence that was decisive. And it was indirect in the sense the Soviet Union allowed Eastern Europe to go its own way. And as a result of Eastern Europe going far further than the Soviet Union ever thought it would, the regimes in the communist Eastern Europe came to an end, and the division of Germany came to an end as well. But that was an unintended set of consequences for what was a different sort of policy of creating a common European home with the Soviet Union intact, with its Eastern European communist allies intact, including the Warsaw Pact.